This is a cognitive reflection based around the section on defending defamation. Please sit up with a back relatively straight, your feet firmly on the floor, and straighten your back, take a few deep breaths. In through the nose, and out through the nose. Feel the cool air going in the nose as you breathe in, and the warm air going out as you breathe out. Now remember, this is a cognitive reflection, and if you wish to do mindfulness-based meditations for your mental health, relaxation, and so on, you should go to the Griffith Counselling and Wellbeing website where they have those resources. Today we're just going to spend a few minutes thinking about the defences to defamation and how they relate to our normal communications and why they might actually be as they are. When we think about our normal communication, occasionally we are moved to say something negative about somebody else. Now, sometimes this is done with a good motivation. Other times it's done through sheer gossip, perhaps motivated by other factors to do with ourselves and others. But let's take a situation closer to journalism, where communication is normally for some matter of public interest, and we can start thinking about the defamation defences that way. As we've learned, the main defences are the defence of truth, the defence of a fair report of court or other privileged occasion, the defence of honest opinion or fair comment, and the defence of qualified privilege, where it's important we speak on a matter of public interest. Now, these have parallels in our normal life as well. If we're going to be responsible and say something truthful about somebody else, we would normally need to have our facts straight, to be absolutely sure that what we're saying is true. Secondly, we would time that for a moment where it was best conveyed. In other words, we would judge the timing appropriately. Thirdly, we would only say it if it was absolutely necessary. Now, this has similarities to the truth or justification defence in media law, because it's only defensible if it's provable, the facts are provable as true. When we think about the other defences, sometimes in our own lives we do need to say something, even though we can't necessarily prove it's true. But it's really important that the person knows about it for their own safety or protection, or for their to be on caution for their relationships in dealing with somebody else. And that's where the defence of fair report fits in, because it's really important that we get to hear important matters that are being discussed in our courts and our parliaments, and that we have the protection for reporting what's said there, even though we might not be able to prove that what is being said is true. Sometimes in life we need to give our opinion about something based on facts as they are, but that opinion might be fairly negative about somebody else. That's the defence of honest opinion or fair comment, and it has all sorts of criteria attached to it. And finally, there might be something that is so much in the interests of the person that even though we can't prove the facts of what we're saying, it's really much in very much in our public interest or our relationship interest to make them aware of this possibility. And broadly, that's what the defence of qualified privilege is all about. So you can see that in our private lives, we also operate to these defences, normally unwittingly, but we are measuring our speech that might be negative about other people pretty much within the bounds of these defamation defences. I hope you found that mini cognitive reflection worthwhile on this topic. And I ask you to just take a few deep breaths through your nose as you emerge from the cognitive reflection. And start to wriggle your toes and open your eyes and set about your daily activities. Thanks for joining us today.